Hi, I'm Carlos from FNR. Hey, before you get listening to your favourite podcast, just want to say something. Without planning appeals, we would not be broadcasting football every hour, every day. In fact, FNR would just not exist. So if you are a property developer, architect or builder, and you need a planning permit, contact Chris McKenzie and his team at Planning Appeals. They love football and they support FNR. So make sure you back them. Here's their number, 03-9484-8349. That's 03-9484-8349. Give them a call today. Cheers, amigo. Hope you enjoy this podcast.
24/7, you're on FNR Football Nation Radio, broadcasting live across Australia and live across the world. This is Culture Cafe with Carlos Alberto Diego. Those people interested in the UEFA Champions League results or progress results at the moment, Manchester United 0 and Sevilla 0 after 34 minutes. Roma and Shakhtar Donetsk also 0 all after 34 minutes. And also we've got some English Championship games going on at the moment. QPR after 34 minutes are 2-0 up against Aston Villa, and Hull City 1-0 up against Ipswich after 34 minutes. The same again by way of time with Sheffield United at Burton Albion. Sheffield United 1-0 up after 35 minutes. Wolverhampton Wanderers and Reading after 33 minutes are 0-0. Brentford and Cardiff City 1-1 after 34 minutes. And Barnsley and Norwich 0-0 after 34 minutes. Coming up in the cafe this morning, we've got NPL, Planet NPL with the coach of Avondale FC in the NPL in Melbourne, Anthony Barbieri. But first, let's go to the club corner and speak to James May, the president of Lidcombe Churches Soccer Club in New South Wales. Good morning to you, James.
Good morning, Carlos.
Yes, it's great having you in the cafe this morning, mate. Lidcombe Churches Soccer Club was formed back in 1939. The team at the time comprised of players whose ages ranged from 14 to 30, so it was a pretty much an all-ages type of team. And they'd never played the game before, apparently, and the result was 0-0 against Carlingford Hostel, and that was 79 years ago. What's the club look like today?
Well, we've grown from that one single team. At the moment, we've got 9 junior teams and 2 senior teams. So it's one all-age squad.
Okay, so how many registered players would that be?
Okay, at the moment, we've got around... I forgot to mention our ladies team. We've only had them for the last 2 years. This year, we've grown to 2 ladies teams. And our registered players overall, you're looking around, we're just doing the figures yesterday, we're looking around 180 to 200 registered players with all those teams.
So it's a really important service you're providing, activity you're providing for your community when you've got that many kids and that many players coming through. It means you're impacting that many families too. Do you feel a big responsibility when you're putting your programs out that they are, run as best as they can with the best possible people involved?
Yes, yes. We realise the responsibility we've got to the basically mainly the children that are coming through. In the last 2 years, 3 years, sorry, we've developed what we call our Congo Kickers, which is basically a preschool program that we run. Mm. And from that, over the last 3 years, we've actually increased our under 6 and under 7 base teams that they've come through there. We've had extra players come through to that.
So, James, where are the kids coming from? Are they just gravitating to the club naturally, or do you go and promote your club out in the community?
We have to do a lot of promotion for the younger players. We put through the preschools in the area and the local primary schools.
Okay, and is it a hard sell, or once you introduce the idea of football in the area, they come flocking?
Basically, yes, we do introduce the football aspect, and we have a good rapport with the local preschools and the local schools, and often there's fires in the schools from other clubs around the area. But we've found that the rapport we've gotten, the way that we've looked after the children, especially over the last 15 years, the parents will ask the teachers at the schools which club they like, and they just tell them the experience they've had with us.
So what do you think the point of difference between your club is and those other clubs in the area?
Well, I think it's the family base we've got that runs the club at the moment. The committee says myself, I'm the president. My brother Steve, he's the secretary. We've got another family there, the Kratzes. Lorraine's the vice president. Her son plays. He's on the committee. Her husband runs the canteen with her. And there's another family, the James family. Ken James, he's actually the grandson of the founder of the club, Ted James.
Mm. Fantastic. And I think it's a real snapshot of what happens at many, many junior clubs or very many local grassroots clubs around Australia where families get involved and they're there for almost generations at times. Now, when you're talking about the teams on the field, of course, it's all about, you know, being active, playing with your friends and enjoying it. But obviously, you know, success and winning makes it even more enjoyable for the kids. Tell us about how successful the club's been at all ages with their teams in the last couple of years?
Over the last couple of years, we've actually won, last year we won two premierships in the junior ranks, and our senior first grade team, they won the their Division 1 competition. We do, they're in different competitions, six-a-side competitions and things like that. Over the last 5 years in total, we've won around 20 competitions.
Fantastic. And what do you put down to the success of that? Because obviously you're a grassroots club and the focus may not always be winning, but you are quite successful.
Yeah, I think at the moment it's the way that the coaches that we've got and the way they handle the children. They don't focus on winning, but they're focusing mainly on teamwork and supporting both your family, your team and the club while they're going along. And it really helps to build some camaraderie, some teamwork and some spirit there, which it translates onto the field and the way that they play the game.
Fantastic, mate. You mentioned the women's team just earlier. The age group, the ages of the women playing, is it a bit of a big range given you've got the one team?
Yeah, we've got the youngest player is 16 and the oldest one we've got there is about, she's 43.
Okay, and what sort of level of development are they at the moment?
At the moment, well, basically last year it was we had 20 in the squad, and 16 of those they've played before, but out of that, 8 of them hadn't played for about 6 or 7 years. They've just come back and formed the club, the team, and a lot of them, the new players that we got through that were actually mothers of players that we've got in our junior ranks,
okay.
And so they were. They were playing in the lowest division. They only won two games, but they all had a great year, and they've all come back this season.
Fantastic. Obviously, they've enjoyed it. Now, James, tell us about the younger girls coming through your women's team. Are they sort of motivated by what's happening in the W League at the moment and also with the Matildas, with some of those star players? Are they a bit of an inspiration to some of the younger girls?
They are. You hear them talking about them all the time while they're down training and playing. That's one of the first topics of conversation they have when they get together, when they show up.
That's fantastic that we've got these role models now that are really exciting some of these young girls. And not only, you know, I think girls have gravitated to the game for a long, long time, but now those girls who know that there might be a little bit of a career, there's an opportunity to represent Australia, even playing the top league in the W League. And with the sort of coaching that's going on these days, you can actually improve quite rapidly and be in that position where you can play at the top level. So it's great to hear that that's what the girls are saying and talking about. At your club. How about those young kids, those really young kids in the sub-juniors or those kids, you know, around the 10-year-old mark that actually want to get, you know, want to be a professional footballer and they want elite training? Do you guys provide that sort of pathway for them?
Yes, through our local district, there is those the programs they have that they can go to, and we do promote those through the club for the players and the parents that are looking for that.
And how about facility? Obviously, as your club grows, you've got to make sure the facility is up to scratch and you've got enough grounds, enough change rooms to be able to cater for the diversity of people in your club. How is the challenge around facilities going?
That's a hard one at the moment because we operate on a local council ground, and two councils have just merged in the area, forced by the New South Wales government last year. And just developing a new rapport with the new council is hard at the moment, but they're really helpful. They've been looking at our ground, which has been basically neglected by the council in the past compared to other grounds in the area. And the push on to work with the council in partnership is on at the moment, and they're actually going to be doing some work on our number one field in the next week or two to do some redressing and some levelling off before the season starts.
So, James, when you have difficulties with council, what's how do you deal with that? Obviously, you don't sit on your hands and do nothing because you've got a responsibility to all the kids and the families that are part of your club. Do you take a different approach? Do you somehow apply pressure in some way?
Yes, there is the grounds manager that we speak to initially. But if we're not getting any luck there after some while, we do actually put some pressure on the local alderman and also letters to the general manager of the council. But we haven't really had to do that a lot at the moment, but that's our avenues. We had to do it once, and we did get results from that.
Yeah, I think more and more clubs have got to do that, mate. We've got to fight for the facilities. We've got the numbers playing the game in this country, so we've got to take our share of facilities, and sometimes the councils need a bit of a prod, and well done for doing that. In 10 years' time, what's the club going to look like, James?
Well, with the growth in the area, there's a lot of high-rise buildings going up around us. We're in Lidcombe. We're close to the Homebush Olympic site. Mm. And close to the new developments that are going along Parramatta River down towards that way. And it looks like in the next 10 years, we could actually double the size of the club at least.
That's great, James. I love the sound of clubs growing that way, as long as the facility comes your way also. But fantastic job with the club at the moment. It's fantastic that it's 79 years old and growing, and you're even talking about what it's going to look like in a decade's time. Great work there. Pass on my best to the committee and all the hard-working volunteers there, and all the best for the new season.
Thank you very much, Carlos. I appreciate your time.
Good on you, mate. That's James May, the president of Lidcombe Churches Soccer Club in New South Wales. Now let's talk a little bit of NPL.